First Kings is the Old Testament reading this morning, and we're in the 17th chapter. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God gives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord. And Hebrews is our epistle reading, 9th chapter. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood, not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for the man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The good news according to St. Mark. And in his teaching, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. That is a wonderful hymn. "Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." You know, today as we have our readings and our whole worship guided and directed around that same idea of God's faithfulness, God's provision, God's care for us. How wonderful is it to know that we have a God who does care for us in this life, all through this life, and on to eternity. We are reminded today that God has provided and he will provide. He has provided for us as individuals in the past, and he will provide for us in the future. God has provided for his church on earth in the past, and he will continue to provide for his church in the future. God has provided for all creation, and he will continue to guide and direct and care for everything that he has made. What a wonderful truth that we have. As Marty pointed out in our two readings today of widows, not connected just because they're widows, but because of something that we see in their story. We get to see how God has provided and he will continue to provide. In our Old Testament reading, which, good job with Zarephath, what a fun name, you know, we don't talk about that one quite as often as Portland or Milwaukee, either here or in a different state. Zarephath, this is not a common one, and yet this story of the widow of Zarephath is a great one for us to remember. In it, we see a woman who is really in great despair, at the end of her rope. And yet, even in her great despair, God sees her in the same God who has provided for her up until this point, shows that he'll continue to do so. In verse 8, of course, we see that the word of the Lord came to him, that is, to Elijah, and the word of the Lord says, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." Now, this might not sound like too big of a deal. I mean, sure, God tells prophets to go places all the time. Now, for Elijah, he has just recently made himself kind of public enemy number one with the king. And so the word of the Lord says, okay, we're going to send you over here for now. And he's being sent to a place that is in Gentile territory. Perhaps you saw the word Sidon and you thought, oh, I recognize that one. We've had it a couple times instead of just Zarephath. But here he's in Gentile territory, and God has sent him to go to a widow there to feed him. So he says, okay, I'll follow the word of the Lord. So he gets up and he goes there, and sure enough, God connects the two of them. You know, they didn't have text messaging or emailing. He couldn't set up an Airbnb to get taken care of. And yet God directed his path, and he got him there. Elijah sees her, and he calls over to her, and he says, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Fine enough. This woman says, okay, I'll collect some water and bring him some water. As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." He's like, well, this is the woman, right? I think that God has sent me to. She's going to feed me. So sure enough, as he asks for this, he's expecting a response. Is this the widow? We'll see. He's thinking maybe she'll have some bread to give him. God sent him here for a meal. He's traveled to get there, and we'll see what happens. As she was going, and she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now Elijah was just sent to her. God said that she would feed him for a long time. She'll continue to feed him. And yet here she says, well, I have nothing. I'm just gathering some sticks, some twigs that I can go and get some fire going and make the last little bit of flour and oil that we have into the last little bit of food that we have that we might eat it and then die. She's going, in her mind, to prepare her last supper, her last meal with her son, that she might use up all that she has with no hope for provision for the future, expecting that this will only be the last moment that they're stomachs are partially full before they die. This is a woman in great despair. She wouldn't say this unless she'd really thought of everything and tried all the different directions she could go to try to provide food for her child, to try to feed herself. And yet here Elijah is saying, could you please give me some food? God saw this woman in her despair. This woman who, mind you, says to Elijah, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. This woman who we're not certain of whether or not she was a believer yet, or maybe if she was originally from the Jewish territories, we have no idea. But she knows that Elijah comes from God, and she said, as the Lord your God lives, I'm promising you, I have nothing baked. I have only a very little bit. That's all. I've only got just enough to feed myself, my kid, and then we're going to die. God saw this woman in her great despair and sent Elijah there to her that she might provide for him. Now Elijah, trusting in the word of the Lord that sent him, says to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. They were in the middle of a drought. They had very little to provide themselves food to eat. And Elijah says, well, don't fear. You can do as you've said. Go and make the last of your bread. But first, feed me. Make some food for me first and feed me. And then go and feed yourself and see that the Lord will provide. He will provide for you. As surely as the Lord lives. Now, we know the story. She went and did as Elijah said. She went and baked the very last of her flour and oil, and she gave it to him to eat. She heard the word of the Lord from Elijah. She trusted in it and said, okay, I'll do as this man says. Make some bread for him. And the jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. God's promise is what Elijah shared. It's not Elijah's special ability or anything else. He just says, God said that you will be able to feed me. We're going to trust in him. As sure as he lives, the Lord will provide. Elijah knows that God has provided, and he will provide. And this woman who doesn't claim God as her own, at least in the beginning, gets to see a miraculous provision. God provides for her and her son, and they're able to eat and feed Elijah for many days. What a wonderful thing. You can keep reading about her story, by the way, in 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll send you home with some homework to do. But as you hear in this story, you've got a woman who takes the word of the Lord to heart, trusts in the one who's preached it to her, feeds him first, and then, sure enough, goes and finds that the flour and the oil are not empty. She's able to feed her son and herself, and she keeps on doing so because God has provided and God will provide. Now we have this paired up with our gospel reading for the day. We have Jesus who's there with his disciples, and he sees these Pharisees walking around with big prayers in the synagogues and with great honor at feasts. And sure enough, a lot of people are giving them a lot of credit that they feel they deserve, thinking, oh, these are some really holy men. God has blessed them abundantly. Therefore, God must really like what they're doing. And a lot of people see this and they think it's just the best. And yet Jesus says, well, they devour widows' houses. the church might have been saying, well, we will take care of the widows. And so the Jewish faith saying, well, we'll care for the widows as we've been told. You give us your resources, we'll help you out. And well, the church, their synagogue seems to be doing pretty well. Their religious leaders seem to be doing pretty great. And yet, as all of these people are there, Jesus takes his disciples and they go and sit down opposite the treasury, a place where you can see where people are putting in their offerings. The way that it's described and that I've seen is that the offering box would have a bit of a metal horn, a bit of a tube that you could drop some things in. Kids, if you can think of going to those really cool discovery centers where you put a coin in, you watch it go zzzz all the way around. It would have made sounds like that. I don't know if they had, you know, the right force thing figured out to get the coin to spin. But it would have made a lot of sound when you would drop these coins into this collection. And they were all coins. They weren't dollar bills. They didn't have, you know, a tap to pay option for offerings. So as they were dropping these coins in, you could hear some of the really wealthy ones maybe taking a bag and pouring it out. Shh. Big sound. Lots of coins. Seems like a pretty great offering. What a wonderful thing. Oh, good job. Pats on the back. Thank you for offering. What a wonderful gift you're giving. And as everyone is seeing all of this, seeing the religious leaders in their long flowing robes and their wealth and their opulence, hearing the great offerings by wealthy individuals coming to do so, Jesus, being God, sees through all of it and sees a very specific woman, one who would really just blend into the background, really. Doesn't have much to show, much to make her stand out. She comes with a very small offering. I love that we have these pictures here for us to take a look at. Nothing really standing out here. This woman very well could blend into the background, go unnoticed. Certainly her offering, we're told, two small copper coins, wouldn't even amount to much. It wouldn't make a large sound unless she really hucked it in there. And even then, it would just go, ting. It wouldn't make a big sound because there's not a lot that she has to give. And yet, Jesus, being God, sees through all of the other things. And he sees through to this woman who could be in great despair. Jesus tells us, doesn't say that he went and interviewed her and found out what she was offering. But he tells us that she's given all that she has. Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. This poor widow comes in, and we don't know her whole story. We don't get to hear what happens later. But we see in her someone who knows that God has provided for her and for his people, and God will provide into the future. She knows that even though it's all that she has, she can give this small offering because God loves her, has cared for her, and will continue to do so. She might even have in her mind this story from the scriptures of that other widow of Zarephath, the one who had nothing, no food left to eat, expected to go and eat the last little bit, and then she and her son would die. And she knows that God provided for her. She knew from God's word that God had been providing for his people for years, for centuries. And she trusted that God would continue to provide. And sure enough, from our perspective, Jesus sees her, knows her heart and her mind, and knows where her trust is. He calls attention to her when everyone else's attention would be distracted by other things. In just the beginning of the next chapter, and we'll get these three verses next week in our gospel reading, the disciples and Jesus are walking along and they look at this beautiful building, big immaculate stones covered in gold. this story of the widow is sandwiched between these two more glorious-looking things. The religious leaders and all of their beautiful wares and their beautiful prayers. The other wealthy individuals offering large amounts. All at this beautiful and gorgeous temple made to give honor and glory to God. Amongst all of that beauty that we can see with our own eyes, Jesus points out the beauty of a woman who knows that God provides. He has provided for her in the past, and he will continue to do so. What a wonderful thing for her to know that, and for us to be able to look back in all of Scripture, in all of history, and know that God has provided, and he will provide. Even as there's been a lot of turmoil in our country over this last week, we know that our God, who has cared for our church, his people, his creation, will continue to do so. It's our joy and privilege to be the ones who just get to share that good news. God has provided and he will. In fact, we know that God has provided for us in all sorts of moments. He's provided for us when things are going really well, when we have nothing to really say is a major concern. We can give thanks to God for all that we have, all of the good and wonderful things we get to enjoy. The Bible says even the very air that we breathe we can give thanks for. All of that, we know our God provides for us. And we can remember times where he's provided for us in seasons that were not as great and wonderful. When we were in moments of despair. When we saw no way forward. I know I could spend far too long telling great stories of the times that God has provided for me and for my family. Both when I was a child and even now as a father and a husband, God has provided for us in so many great ways. And I hear wonderful stories from members here, having only been here a short time, hearing how God has provided for this church and for the people here at the church. What a wonderful set of stories we have to remind people that our God sees us. He knows what we need. He has provided for us, and he will continue to do so. The Bible says many times, remember the faithfulness of God. We just sang it before as well. Great is thy faithfulness. The God who promises to love you, to care for you, to be with you, to be near you every day. That God has provided for you and will provide for you going forward. Not just in this life either. It's really neat the way our lectionary works with all of the readings that we had today. Our gospel reading is always paired with the Old Testament reading. Those two are always designed to line up. And the epistle reading kind of just works through books of the Bible. And so it doesn't always line up, but we know that God's word speaks to a lot of the same truths. How wonderful that today we have Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 to 28 to look through. In it, we hear about Christ, who, acting as a priest, far greater than the ones he was pointing out in our gospel reading, he made this wonderful sacrifice, a sacrifice greater than any of the priests before him had ever done. He made it not in a place done by human hands, not in just a beautiful, wonderful temple. In fact, he made the sacrifice outside the city, in a place meant for sinners, those who deserve to die. And he goes and he makes this perfect sacrifice for you and for me. When he died on the cross, it was just a culmination of God's promises up to that point. He promised that just as he had provided for his people, he would provide a Savior. He would provide his very Son to die in our place. How great is it for us that unlike these two widows in our stories today, we don't just have a trust and a hope that God will provide all that we need. We live where we can look back at all of history and say, wow, God has provided. God provided in the very largest way he could, in the way he had promised from the moment that sin came into the world. He provided for us life everlasting. The same God who gave you the life of his Son, Jesus Christ, that you might live and your sins might be fully removed from you. The same God who rose Jesus from the grave, that Father who loved his Son, who loves the Son perfectly, loves you. And he will provide for you every day in this life until he calls you home in heaven. Until then, there will be more times of despair. There will be times where we think, well, God will provide, and myself or my family members who are going through awful, terrible, debilitating diseases, maybe God will provide healing for them now. And yet, even in those times where God's answer is, I will provide for them, but I will provide for them an even greater existence, life in heaven without sin and pain and suffering. And until then, a peace that would cover over all of the pain and despair that you would have. We know that this life is one that is fraught with troubles. We live in a sin-broken world. Death has come into it because of our sin, and because of all of this, we continue to suffer and to struggle. And yet our hope is still the same that those widows had, but even more so because we know how God has provided. Our hope is that even in our pain or in suffering or the pain and suffering of our loved ones, we know that God has provided and he will provide. He will continue to care for us daily. And more importantly, he will continue to care for us until he calls us home to be in heaven with him. God has provided, and he will continue to provide for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. And go in peace and serve the Lord.